A values-based life starts here.
Welcome to In Conversation with Heartlines, a show where we try and help you do what's right so that you can fix the things that are wrong. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Andile Maphosa. Joining me this afternoon is Mr. Musi Maimane, who is a proud father as well as the leader of One South Africa. Good afternoon, Ntate Maimane. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It's a great privilege to be on here. And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Really looking forward to it. I'm sure many people already know you, but they know only one aspect of yourself. Could you please just introduce yourself and give us a good idea of who you are outside of your role in the political sphere?
Yeah. First of all, I'm a Christian. I love God. I funny enough, through youth work and my relationship with people like Brian Helsby drew me to youth work, and have been serving in that capacity for a number of years, and have remembered that. And so just as a servant of Christ, it's been a privilege to do so and have served in a local church. And I'm privileged enough to be married to one wife, Natalie, who is a great South African woman who has been a great partner and a mother to three of our kids, Kalalezo, Daniel, and Kutuano. And just in our service for our country, just beyond just the political work, we've equally been involved in business and making sure we can understand how to make an impact, not only in the world of politics, but in the financial markets, to ensure that we can build entrepreneurs. So I've had the very fortunate life to have been able to be involved in multiple dynamics of society, and obviously have been an incredible follower of the work that Heartlines does, and just this particular program and its crucial value in our country. And so, yeah, just as a father, a friend, a husband, and an entrepreneur and a leader in our society, I count it a privilege to be a part of this interview.
Let's talk about your journey as a father.
I have Kalalezo, who is a beautiful young girl. She's smart. She's 11. She is now involved in so many other things. She plays a lot of sport, academically doing quite well. And Kalalezo is 11. And Daniel Khosi, who is our son, he is a great, great, great young guy, proud supporter of Liverpool Football Club, which I endorse. Been doing well at school and academic, and then lastly, we during the time of COVID discovered that we're having another little one, Kutuano, who is now 18 months. So I always like to challenge people and say to them, we help balance out the scales during a time of COVID that was difficult. When others were learning a language, we were able to have a whole human being. And so now I've got Kutuano, who's 18 months. She's a superstar, and it's my greatest joy in life is to have all three of them.
And speaking about that, what has brought you the most satisfaction as a father?
Look, I think when I reflect back on the journey that we've seen as one, watching my kids learn how to serve God, because I think one of the things we don't realize is that from ages 1 to 7, you are the one who transfers values to your kids. They don't always have a conception of what can go beyond what God is, what purpose is, all of that. You reflect that. And I was looking at this in thinking about this discussion, and my daughter had sent me a pamphlet that she had done when she was a little girl at school. And speaking about one of her favorite things for me was to watch how we pursued the call of God in politics. And I think part of being a father is being able to model the very values you want to have transferred to your kids and giving them purpose. But it's also the privilege of being able to walk with them through very difficult times. My daughter lost her best friend one of the kids in her school to cancer. And her having to grapple with issues of, okay, God, what does this mean? What does it mean now that I've lost my my best friend, when you're a father, that's where you need to sometimes help guide and inspire a sense of hope in your kids. So to me, one of the privileges of being a father is knowing that maybe in the beginning, when the kids are little and they're still very dependent on their mother for their own food, their own survival, all of those things, but I'm enjoying this phase of life where our kids are looking to values, direction and inspiration, and just being able to, for us and Natalie, being able to guide those conversations. I think sometimes that just being able to not only model it, but being able to find those moments to imprint values into your kids' lives is such an incredible privilege.
And I'm sure it's one of those things that we wish more and more fathers would actually have time and create time to do, to have those pivotal moments when the children are still young, to be able to impact them in this way. Has there ever been an incident that made you think, wow, you know, being a father is really awesome?
Yeah, there are many. You know, my son is a sports person, and I grew up with my parents. My parents worked in a factory, and so my mother was a cashier, my father was a factory worker, which invariably meant that I can remember trying to ask my own father the day I became a prefect, and he had to take time off work, and that was such a difficult thing during the apartheid years. It felt like it was time off work. So if it was hard for him to take time off for that, it became even harder for him when we had sports moments for him to just even come and watch. And I knew that, I didn't take that as a very important value growing up. I didn't think kids needed that. I thought I survived, so what do my kids need? And one day I was standing on the sidelines of a rugby field and I watched my son do something incredible. And he looked up at me and I could see just the pride of being able to do something that I could celebrate. And just recently we were coming back from a football game and he said to me, you know, Daddy, I love that you get to watch me play football. Now, it's not just the spectator value of it, but I think it's the affirmation that when he sees me on the side of the field, that he knows not only am I proud of him, but he knows that I will support him no matter what. And it gives us spaces and opportunities where we can share stories. I wish it could be other things, much more spiritual, but I just love to being a part of those moments in his life. And it's the same for my daughter. You know, I can affirm that she's beautiful. I love the fact that when she finishes getting dressed and she's going out to a place, she comes into the room to say, Daddy, how do I look? Because in many ways, I'm the first one to either approve or disapprove and to give value to her. It's that both their reports arrive first at my desk where I'm able to look at them and be able to go, wow, I'm so proud of you guys, regardless of the marks. So to me, it gives me an opportunity that perhaps as a child I never had, but there's an intentionality that I've got to work and say, I affirm the value and always remind them of how proud of them and how grateful that, behold, I'm so affirming of them, both publicly and privately, and that when they have successes or failures, my greatest privilege as a father is that they get to want to share those with me first. So I celebrate.
Now, let's shift a bit more to the other side. What are some of the challenges that you have faced as a father?
I alluded earlier to a story where about when my daughter lost her best friend at a school who died of cancer. And it was very, very difficult. It was difficult because she was battling with her faith. I could see that almost her statement. I remember sitting on the side of her bed and she said to me, but God only had one job, which is to heal my friend. And he failed at that. And you know, as a father, to watch your kids go through pain, that's hard. To try and explain that pain is even harder. And then to try and reconcile that with their faith, that probably would reflect a moment that was the hardest for me to try and explain very complex things such as death and what that means for kids. So I think if I reflect on the journey of fatherhood, that's been some of the tougher moments that we've had to go through. We didn't always plan on having child number three, if I'm willing to be absolutely vulnerable. But when Kutlwano came into our life, that changed all of our family dynamics, all of that. And as a father, I needed to make sure the family can collectively lead through that and almost be intentional about that. And she's been the greatest blessing in our lives, along with our other two kids. So I think as a father, the best I can do is to make sure that regardless of what's happening in our own relationship with my kid's mother, that I'm the best husband I can be, because that educates my daughter to learn that as a man, I have to humble myself and serve my wife. But it also helps my son know that just because I'm a man, I need to show dominance in a society that suffers from gender-based violence, and a society that suffers from so many stereotypical issues of patriarchy, etc., that as a father, I get to model that first at home. And whilst that might seem very passionate and very deliberate, but you've got to show intentionality around those issues, or your kids sometimes don't always learn the lessons, and sometimes you've got to be intentional. You can't just say, because I grew up not like this, it's not an excuse for you not to think hard about what kind of values you want to transfer to your kids, because I guess it does remain true. What doesn't get transformed is transferred. And so it's healing within yourself and then transferring something to your kids that ensures that they don't suffer the baggage that you grew up with.
What doesn't get transformed gets transferred. With that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of Musi Maimane. Don't go anywhere. Have a listen to this.
Fixing what's wrong in our world begins with making small changes in our own lives and then encouraging others to do the same. Heartlines, your partner in the promotion of positive values.
You're still tuned to In Conversation with Heartlines. I'm your host, Andile Maphosa, and today I'm in conversation with Musi Maimane. Now, Musi, you mentioned values that you'd like to pass on to your children. What are the values, or maybe one or two values that you'd like to pass on to your children?
Yeah, we permanently, you know, as a family, we have kind of like a values charter. We want to always talk about the fact that we put God first. We're generous. We're global in our thinking, and ultimately we're out to serve people. And so we talk about the value of Ubuntu as something that we own. And when I was in Florian involved in public life, I wanted to make sure that values weren't just taught and spoken about at home, but there were values that we would take up. My kids will have a different life than what I've had. They'll grow up in a far higher LSM level and an income level than what I grew up in, which means that I've got to work consciously hard at making sure that they're in communities they wouldn't ordinarily be, because their schools wouldn't take them there, their experiences wouldn't take them there. So if I was doing an event in an informal settlement, my kids would be there. If we were, so that they can learn the sense of Ubuntu, the idea that we are human because of one another, that all of us arrived in this earth as, if you like, incomplete humans, that we need one another to be more human. It's a child who grows up and has to learn to be human because of other humans. I've got to let my kids know that in a community. But we've also, secondly, because of that value, have had to teach our kids the idea that, and which many parents maybe might disagree with, is the idea that there is a history in this country of racial division. And my wife is half Welsh, half Lebanese, so she's a white South African. How do we teach our kids that reconciled society, not by modeling it at home, but for them to go advance it? Because I would want for Khaladetso, for Daniel, for Kutlwano to be agents of reconciliation in our society. So we transfer that. And the reason we named Kutlwano Kutlwano is because we believed in the value of reconciliation, and we said, you need to go champion that in the world.
And now, when your children have grown up, what one thing would you like them to say about being the child of Musi Maimane?
That's a difficult question, but I think I would want my kids to know that it didn't matter what I was doing. When they called, I was their priority, or they were my priority. And by calling, I don't actually always mean physically phoning, but let me tell a story. I'd hope this will. One day I was doing a campaign trail all across the country, and we were doing three cities in one day. So Cape Town, Joburg, PE, in fact, the fourth city, I'd finish out in Cape Town. And when I left Joburg to arrive in PE, my wife called me in the middle of that, of the flight, of the trip, said to me, "Look, I think Daniel is not well. We're going to have to take him to hospital." And I literally had to go, when I arrived at the campaign stop, with a crowd waiting, all of those things, had to literally say, "I can only stay for 5 minutes, I'll greet, and then we'll hopefully get on the next flight to head back home because my son is not well." Now, I would hope that one day for him, that would always communicate the idea that if they call, I will take the call and I will be there. Now, there have been moments in our lives where I've got that wrong. I can remember him inviting him to a football game, and something had come up in the way, and I went and prioritized that. And actually, the course correction came out of the fact that because I remember having to make that phone call to my son, saying to him, "Look, I'm not going to be able to make the football game which we'd committed to going to." And I'll never forget the call. I'll never forget how it made me feel, how it made him feel. And I vowed that day to say, it doesn't matter what's happening, it doesn't matter who it is, it doesn't matter what happens, they will take priority. So if you had to randomly pick up my laptop and pick up my diary, you would see in it the appointments with all of my kids on a regular basis, that you take a lot of work to move them if you have to move them. But even my team know that those remain priorities, and we've had to be intentional about being a father. And I would hope my kids would remember that and not assume that it just was always easy.
Maybe one day they'll watch this interview and they'll be like, "I actually think about it. He did." Two more questions before I think we say goodbye to you. As a man who loves God, what do you think the role of the church would be in encouraging or creating a space where fatherhood is brought to the forefront and encouraging men to be more active in the lives of their children?
Yeah, I mean, I think church's first biggest model is that we have our Heavenly Father. And I think that's an important message for men to hear. We've lived as an orphan nation. We've lived, many South Africans are growing up without fathers. In fact, amongst particular race groups, particular black race groups, that can be as high as 2/3 of men are growing up with their own fathers, which means that modeling doesn't take place. And I would urge that is a fundamental issue that the church needs to be able to demonstrate a father in heaven. I've had to sit before God in my own devotion and say, "God, whilst I had a great human father, but I need you to teach me how to be a father." And the church has a primary role in being able to transfer that value. But secondly, be able to make it possible for families to thrive within church, and that's about challenging men. If the story of the prodigal son is a story of a wounded or a prodigal father, as others would put it, it's a story of a father who goes and pursues. I think we need to be fathers, and the church can help teach, guide that value, educate in that regard, and teach on it to help fathers be able to go out and say, "How do I keep pursuing my kids? Because they need to know that as a father, I look after them regardless of what." And so that is a fundamental priority that we need to put forward. And I think that the church has a very crucial role in being able to achieve that. And I would urge that, particularly for ministers, for leaders, that church must be a safe space for family, and church must be able to invite men to not narrow the conversation down to saying fatherhood is about a donation of sperm, but truly fatherhood is about a sense of what you can transfer values, identity, and purpose, because that's what I have in the father as that person.
If you were able to address all the men in the country and you are giving a message out to fathers, what would that message be?
Look, as men, we don't get the right to carry kids physically. But what we do get the privilege to be able to do is to transfer values. In a country ravaged by gender-based violence, ravaged by absent fathers, all of those things, the role of fathers being great husbands to mothers of kids, but also being able to be great fathers, has never been more episodic. The apartheid project was about destabilizing families in some instances, when you think of what the labor process was like. And I think today, or migrant labor process was like, I think today if we're going to fix our country, if we're going to build a society, we need men who will stand up. We need men who know that they will stay with the mothers of their kids. And we know that, sociologically speaking, when a responsible adult man is in the home, the educational outcomes of those kids are different. The sexual activity of those kids is different. And ultimately, the identity and the long-term prospects of those kids is different. So fixing the country is about fixing the home, because values is what guides a society. And men, we need to rise up and we need to stand up for this. Because in truth, if we fail at being fathers, we mustn't look back and wonder how, why we have young people suffering with issues of identity, taking drugs, all of those things, because we fail. The first mentor my child will have is me. The first someone who's going to speak to them about faith is me. And if I don't model it, if I don't teach it, we mustn't be surprised when we have social economic issues. So I think being a father isn't just the fence of just being the privilege and a God-given opportunity, but it actually can be revolutionary, given the stats in our country, just by saying, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to make sure my kids know that they've found a man who's responsible and will take it upon them. And I think that it shapes the identity of young girls in knowing what it takes, and it shapes the identity of boys in knowing that they must look after their sisters in the country. So to me, I really believe there is a moment in our country now, and that's why this conference, this conversation can never be more important, because you can't police gender-based violence enough always. You can't police the fact that we have seen such violence against women. You can't do it with ease until values are back in the home that says women are not slaves, women are esteemed, and as fathers, we need to give that to our girls, because once we've done that, my daughter is not beautiful because she's pretty. She's beautiful because she's smart, she's intelligent, she can achieve all of those things. And I, as a man, must be the first person to communicate that to her before any law of our authority would ever come into that. So that's what we've got to do.
Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Musi Maimane, and just for sharing some of those nuggets of wisdom, those pearls of amazing thoughts on fatherhood, and, you know, sharing from your journey as a father as well. We appreciate the work that you're doing, not only nationally, but more importantly, in your house as a husband, and importantly, as a present father.
Thank you, and it's my great privilege.
That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.